1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father, we're glad this morning for the privilege that we have to assemble in the name of Jesus. Father, your people have gathered here this morning, some of them burdened, some of them, Lord Jesus, been through great trials and hearts broken. And Lord Jesus, you know where we've come from. You know what we've been going through. Asking you to help us this morning. Speak to our needs. Speak to our hearts. Father, if there's a soul in this place without Christ, I pray that their hearts would be broken this morning in repentance and come to Jesus, surrender to Christ, and be saved. Oh God, we're glad for the salvation that Jesus has purchased for us. We're thankful for the Word of God. We ask you this morning to help us, anoint us to speak the Word of God, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach to you this morning on reason not to quit. A reason not to quit. In this passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the classic chapter on the resurrection. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul is arguing for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He tells us in this passage of Scripture that there are some in the church at Corinth teaching that there is no resurrection. And he said if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen from the dead. Ye are yet in your sins. Your faith is in vain. We are false witnesses of Christ. For we have testified that God raised him from the dead. And if God did not raise him from the dead, we are false witnesses of Jesus Christ. He said, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. And indeed, if Jesus is not risen from the dead, and if there is no resurrection, then we have no hope beyond this life. Paul affirmed in this passage of Scripture that there is indeed a resurrected Lord. And that resurrection of Jesus affected us all. We all shall live because He lives. And he goes on further to give us some more information. He says, I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm going to show you a mystery. You might not be able to get a hold of the resurrection. You've got to get a hold of it if you're going to be saved. Because if you're saved, you've got to believe from your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You've got to get a hold of the resurrection. But he said, behold, I show you a mystery. Something that's been hidden in the past, but now disclosed by God. We shall not all sleep. In other words, not only are we going to be resurrected from the dead, some of us are not going to die at all. For this we say, that he said in my passage of Scripture, we're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. From mortal to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, God is going to change these bodies. At the last trump, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be transformed. So if you can't believe in the resurrection, you're going to really have trouble getting hold of this one. We're not all going to die. But we're all going to be changed. Hallelujah. These bodies that we live in are going to be transformed from this mortal body into an immortal body made like unto that resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, look, We're all either going to be resurrected or we're going to bypass death. And either way, we're going to be able to say death is swallowed up in victory. This is what people have dreaded down through the ages of time. Everybody realizes that we're stalked by the same adversary. That as soon as we get into the world, that death is on our trail. We don't know when he's going to catch up with us. We don't know at what age he's going to catch up with us. But we're being stalked from the time we come into this world. Death is on our trail. He is an adversary. He's an enemy to us. The Bible calls him the last adversary. Death is on our trail. And you know, you don't have to be old for death to catch up with you. Friday night I preached in the prison before I got inside. The superintendent met me outside and said, "Have you heard what happened up here?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, we had a man to die in this prison last night. Yesterday, in the outside playing with the boys, 36 years old, far as they could tell, a picture of health. But he come inside with his heart in his chest and died and expired on them. And these boys are upset because this man has died in their midst, 36 years old. But I'm telling you, brother, that same death that caught up with him is stuck in your trail this morning, too. And we don't know when he's going to catch up with us. But we have this blessed assurance from the Word of God that death has been swallowed up in victory. We have the privilege because Jesus has risen from the dead and conquered death and said to us, "Because I live, and ye shall live also." We can say along with the Apostle Paul, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Praise God. Oh, we don't have to be afraid of death. The sting of death has been removed from us. When Jesus went to the cross and settled the sin question and forgave us of our sins and delivered us by His blood from the power of our sins, and He took the sting of death out of us, took the sting out of death for us, and we can say with the Apostle Paul, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" Sister Kelly mentioned this morning the death of Brother J.B. Allen. He lived right next door to the church at McCall. One of those quiet, faithful saints of God. Sweet-spirited man. And when I was down there preaching just a few weeks ago, they just diagnosed him with cancer. And all over his body. 80-something years old. And but that man of God, bless his heart, for him there's no sting in death. Because Jesus has taken away the sting of death. And brother, we can face death with courage. And I remember my wife, after God saved her on that Christmas day, 1976, when we had a car accident. And we got out of that car just with scratches on us. But my wife was under deep conviction. Raised in church, prayed around the altars like some of you young people here in this church, but never really made a commitment to God of her life. And at 20 years of age, face to face with death, she said, "I realized I was not ready to meet God." And that evening when we got to my parents' home, we knelt in the living room to thank God for His mercy. And my wife knelt at the couch and said, "God, I'll live for You now." And God received her and saved her marvelously and wonderfully right there at my dad's couch and changed her life. I'm telling you, I don't have to tell you, 31 years later, she's still on fire for God. That's the kind of work God did in her that night or that evening at the couch at my father's house. And God saved her wonderfully that day. And I'm telling you, she said, "I could lay down at night and not be afraid of not... You know, if I didn't wake up, I'd know where I went to." And I want you to know you can have that kind of peace in your heart. And you can say, "The sting of death has been taken out for me. Jesus has saved my soul. And the resurrection lives on the inside of me." Hallelujah. So you remember Jesus standing at the grave of Lazarus. And they're weeping and crying. And Jesus said He's going to rise again. Oh, they said, "We know He'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said, "I got something new to tell you. something you don't know. I am the resurrection. I am the life. Jesus walks out beside the grave of Lazarus and says, Lazarus, come forth. Brother, Lazarus couldn't have heard me and he couldn't have heard you, but he heard that voice. The Son of God, they that hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. And Lazarus come out of that grave and he heard the voice of the Son of God. And Jesus has power over death. Did you hear me? I said Jesus has power over death. And he broke the chains of death and Lazarus came out of the grave. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory over death. Jesus Christ gives us the victory over the fear of death. We don't have to be afraid to face death. Polycarp, that martyr from the church at Smyrna, the suffering church at Smyrna, Polycarp, who knew the apostles, he lived in that early day. He knew some of the apostles. He'd been taught and trained by them. He's the pastor, the bishop at the church at Smyrna. Church at Smyrna is suffering persecution. Finally, somebody says, let's go after the bishop. So they begin to pursue him. They warn him. He flees. They tell him to flee. He does. Polycarp flees until finally he has a dream. And in his dream, his pillar catches on fire. And he takes it as a sign from God that they're going to capture him. So they tell him, you know, flee to another place. And no, I'm going to wait here. So he did. They came. They arrested him. He told him, he said, okay, give me 1 hour. He said, okay, we'll give you 1 hour to pray. The old man got on his knees. He's in his 90s, I believe. He got on his knees and began to pray. He prayed for an hour. He prayed for the churches. He prayed for the saints. He prayed for his captors. My God, this man prayed. And his captors are amazed at the spirit of this man. They take him to the arena. The crowd is gathered there. And the governor, the Roman governor's there. And the Roman governor tells him, they said, Polycarp, we don't want to do any harm to you. If you'll just renounce this Lord Jesus Christ, everything will be all right. He said, how can I renounce Jesus? In these 80-something years, he's been good to me. I cannot renounce Jesus Christ. Well, they said, we've got beasts. We'll call the beasts. He said, call them. Oh, we've got fire. We'll burn you with fire. He said, the fires of this world only last for a little while, but the fires of eternity never go out. Finally, they see they can't do anything with him, so they say, we're going to burn you. And so they take him out to the stake. They're going to tie him to the stake. They got the wood piled around. And he says, you don't need to tie me to the stake. So they don't tie him. And they build a fire around him. And the fire billows away from him. And somebody says, this old man is going to do more damage in his death than he does in his life. And so a knife slices through the fire and puts out his life and they burn his body. But I'm telling you, the multitude around there saw a scene that day. A man that faced death with courage. The sting of death had been removed. And that's the reason why that Tertullian said the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. The heathen looked on at the Christians and said they die well. And they understood that there's something different about these people because they can face death without fear. The sting of death has been removed for them. Paul says, concluding his argument concerning the resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, when you see that word therefore, you want to know why it's there for. And that therefore refers back to the argument about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has indeed risen from the dead. You and I also are going to be risen from the dead. This therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Get this now. Because, some said, there is no resurrection, they also said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So they adopted the philosophy of the world. What is the use of this self-denial? What is the use of this prayer life? What is the use of this faithfulness to the house of God? What is the use of placing ourselves in danger of losing our life for Jesus' sake when there is no resurrection? There is no reward of the saints. Death is the final end. Why live like this? Why don't we just live for ourselves? Why don't we just rake in all we can? Why don't we just make life about me? Amen. And so, sort of like the guy saying, it was one of the worldly guys saying, I got to be me. It's got to be, so it doesn't matter who I hurt, I got to be me. So we're just going to live life for me, eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. If there's no resurrection, that death is it. But Paul is arguing, hey, that death is not it. And there is a resurrection. There is something beyond death. And since there is something beyond death, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That is, don't be easily discouraged. Be faithful. Be steady in the face of trouble, in the face of discouragement. Be ye steadfast. Have your feet on a rock. And he said, be ye unmovable. That is, continue in your work for God, in your confession of your faith, in the profession of your faith, in the work for Christ. Don't be moved by the opposition and trials and tests and temptations that come your way. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Going beyond the call of duty. Listen to me now. If you will keep in mind, and this is what God wants you to keep in mind, that what you are seeing now and what you're experiencing now as a child of God is not the whole story. There is a reward for the people of God. There is a resurrection day. There's coming a time when you'll look back over this life and it's trials and tests. And you'll say along with the songwriter, it's nothing. As Paul said, he said, the sufferings of this present world are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is never wasted. It's never to no purpose. Do you get that? Your labor is never wasted. It's never to no purpose. Now, here is what the devil wants you to think. He wants you to think that all you've done is in vain. And all the effort that you put into the work of God, it's to no effect. I want to get you to think, let's just eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's just live for ourselves. Forget about the work of God. But the Lord is encouraging us through this passage of Scripture that your labor is not in vain. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Moms and dads, I want to encourage you this morning. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Them lonely hours, I know some of you spend some lonely hours at home with those children, training, teaching, instructing, praying over those children. And sometimes I'm sure the devil tries to make you think, boy, that's all in vain. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain. Look back to an empty grave. See death conquered. The last enemy, the last adversary, the strong adversary conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And realize that no matter what opposition you face, trying to get your children into the kingdom of God, you know, As the people of God, we ought to never be in despair. We ought to always look back to an empty grave and say, look, if Jesus can do that, He can do anything I need. Don't be in despair. Don't be downhearted. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When Satan would try to get you to stop praying because you think he tries to get you to think that your prayers are all in vain, they're never going to be answered. I'm going to tell you what I think. Sister Judy, if you'll come to the piano, I think your prayers are never wasted when they're sent up in faith. Never wasted. Tears are bottled up in heaven. My mom and dad died over a year ago in the car accident. They cried and wept and prayed over their family. I still believe, I am still looking for answers to their prayers. I don't believe their prayers have been forgotten. I don't believe those prayers have been thrown out of heaven. I believe God has still got them bottled up in heaven, and they're going to be answered. So, we're not laboring in vain. There's a lot of things I want to see accomplished before I leave here. One man said, God's not going to take me till He gets through with me, till my work is done. He said, I'm so far behind now, it'll take a long time to get caught up. Well, I believe that the Lord's going to keep us here till our work is done. But I'm going to tell you something. When my work is done, His work's not done. I mean, it's not going to end with me. If I die before I get home today, this work right here is not going to end with me. It's the Lord's work. God's work's going to go on. It went on before I got here. It'll go on after I've left here. I'm confident it's in good hands. Jesus is the head of it. It's in good hands. The work of God's going to go on. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your prayers are not prayed in vain. Your tears are not shed in vain. Your labor in your family is not in vain. What you do for Jesus is not in vain. You will never waste time in laboring for the Lord. Sometimes the enemy tries to get us to think, you know, you could be doing something better with your time than going to the house of God and spending time in prayer every day. Spending time in the Word of God. You got better things to do than this. Things more urgent than this. They try to make you think you're wasting your time. Oh my, and the world looks at us and say they are wasting their time. Living for a world to come when this is the only world they're going to see. Oh my, Jesus said that's not so. There's a resurrection. There's a world beyond this. We're in a dressing room for eternity right now. I want to know, are you ready? If Jesus were to come today, are you ready? If death were to catch you on the trail of life today, would you be ready? It's going to happen, brother and sister. Is the sting been taken out of death for you so that you are ready to meet God and you can face Him and say, that is my friend. I've settled the accounts. I've made peace with God. Jesus is my friend. Well, I know He's a friend to you, but are you a friend to Him? Have you surrendered to Him? Have you yielded your life to Him? I want us to stand together this morning, opening the altars here for just a little bit. If there's somebody in this house, you don't know Jesus, you don't have the peace of God, if death overtook you this day, the sting is still there because you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. It don't take long to get right with God when your heart's broken. It don't take long to get right with God when you're tired of sin. It don't take long to make peace with God when you're ready to surrender. If you're here this morning, you're tired of sin, you want to get right with God, You want to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We'll wait in just a few moments if there's a soul in this place that needs help. Altars are open. Somebody will meet you here. We'll pray with you and do our best to help you to come to know Jesus Christ. If there's anybody in this house, your heart's broken, you're under a load of sin, Jesus wants to save you. Take the sting of death out of your life. Anybody?